ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्ते कृष्ण। सो दिस मॉर्निंग वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 2 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड प्रेयर्स बाय द डेमिगॉड्स टेक्स्ट 1 एंड 2। प्लीज रिपीट। श्रीशुक उवाच प्रलम्बबकचाणूर तृणावर्त महाशनैः मुष्टिकारिष्टद्विविड पुतनाकेशिधेनुकैः। श्रीस्तु इज अन्यैश्चासुरा भूपालैर् बाणभौमादिभिर्युतः यदुनां कदनं चक्रे बलिमागध समाश्रयः। सो ट्रांसलेशन एंड परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। शुकदेव गोस्वामी सेड अंडर द प्रोटेक्शन ऑफ मगधराज जरासंध द पावरफुल कंस बिगैन परसिक्यूटिंग द किंग्स ऑफ द यदु डिनेस्टी। इन दिस ही हैड द कोऑपरेशन ऑफ डीमंस लाइक प्रलम्ब बक चाणूर तृणावर्त अघासुर मुष्टिक अरिष्ट द्विविड पूतना केशी धेनुक बाणासुर नरकासुर एंड मेनी अदर डिमोनियक किंग्स ऑन द सर्फेस ऑफ द अर्थ। परपोर्ट। दिस वर्स सपोर्ट्स द फॉलोइंग स्टेटमेंट गिवन बाय द लॉर्ड इन भगवद्गीता चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 7 एंड 8। यदा यदा हि धर्मस्य ग्लानिर्भवति भारत अभ्युत्थानम धर्मस्य तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम् परित्राणाय साधूनां विनाशाय च दुष्कृतां धर्म संस्थापनार्थाय संभवामि युगे युगे। Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion. I advent myself millennium after millennium. The Lord's purpose in maintaining this material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. But kings and political leaders unfortunately try to hinder the purpose of the Lord, and therefore the Lord appears either personally or with his plenary portions to set things right. It is therefore said, Garbham sancharya rohinyam devakya yoga mayaya tasya kukshim gata krishno dvitiyo vividha istutah. Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki after transferring Baldev to the womb of Rohini by the power of Yoga Maya. Yadubhi Savyarudhyataha. The kings of the Yadu dynasty were all devotees, but there were many powerful demons, such as Shalva, who began to persecute them. At that time, Jarasandha, who was Kamsa's father-in-law, was extremely powerful, and therefore Kamsa took advantage of his protection and the help of the demons in persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. The demons naturally appeared more powerful than the demigods, but ultimately, because of help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated and the demigods triumphant. So, right at the beginning of this purport, Srila Prabhupada brings up the subject which is hinted at by this verse. Prabhupada says the verse supports the following statement given by the Lord, and he is talking about dharmasya glani, discrepancy of religion or religious practices among the masses. So the thing is, when Krishna creates this through his plenary portions and he sends forth generations of men and demigods to populate all these universes, we know from the Bhagavad Gita and even in this purport Prabhupada mentions that the Lord's purpose In what is the purpose in creating all these universes and in maintaining them? The Lord's purpose in maintaining the material world is to give everyone a chance to go back home, back to Godhead. And how is that possible? Because when the Lord creates this entire universes, along with creating men and demigods who will populate all these universes, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that he gives the means of sacrifice or yajna. He gives them this method of yajna by which all that is created by him can be reconnected to the creator, that is to him, by this process of sacrifice. So this procedure is given by Krishna himself. And by following this procedure, all the living entities in this material world can ultimately go back home, back to Godhead. But when that principle of dharma, that is that principle by which we can connect all the things to the source of emanations, when that principle of dharma is violated, then the human energy becomes spoilt. What do I mean by this human energy being spoilt? So, just like, I'll give you an example. Most of us here, we have some sort of a listening device, maybe an MP3 player, iPod, iRiver, just Transcend. So many devices we have. Everyone must have one of these. Now, let's take the example of an iPod. When we get an iPod, there are certain instructions. We get an instruction manual along with it. Very few of us bother to read it. But if anyone goes through it, then it is explained how to use this device. And also, there are certain points where it is mentioned that how to not use this device. If at all somebody reads the instruction manual, they read how to use this device, because sometimes they are not able to navigate the menus or whatever. So they try to find out, how do I do this? But rarely, if ever, anyone reads how not to use the device. Now, generally the iPod is a good sized device. It's quite heavy and sturdily built. So someone might think, this is a nice tool. I can use this as a tool to break open some walnuts. Let me try if it is possible. So it takes an iPod and a walnut and starts banging. Bang, bang, bang. And then he realizes, walnut is cracked open. So this is a very nice utilization. One more utility for this particular device I have. Or I remember a few years back, in one of the issues of Back to Godhead magazine, there was a picture whereby they had shown in a field, they were plowing a field, and a Mercedes-Benz car, they had hitched the plow to the back of a Mercedes-Benz, and they were using the... Now, Mercedes-Benz is also a vehicle which can drag the plow behind it, and the wheel will get... But then again, that is not what that Mercedes-Benz was designed to be used for. So similarly, when this human form of life is created, specifically this human form of life, then there is a certain purpose behind why this human body is created. All of us, we know. What is the specific purpose of this human form of life? As it is said, ahara nidra bhayam aithunam cha samanam etat pashubhi narana dharmo hitesham adhiko vishesho dharmena hina pashubhi narana. So, what is the difference? As far as external features are concerned or activities are concerned, human beings may be performing the same activities may be on a polished level, But still, the activities, they boil down to the four basic activities of eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Not much difference between the animals and the human beings. But the human being has a special prerogative of inquiring about higher subject matters and inquiring about what is his true, what is the true nature of the self, and from where have I come here? Is there any supreme personality, and what is my relationship with the supreme personality of Godhead? These are subject matters which can be only inquired about by the human beings because of the human form of life, and therefore these are special prerogative. So therefore, when I say that when the principle of dharma, and that principle is how to connect all the things to their source of emanation, is violated, the human energy becomes spoilt. So not only is using an iPod to crack open a walnut the wrong use of the iPod, but also trying to use it in such a way will cause harm and will damage the iPod itself. So similarly, trying to use this human form of life to enjoy just like the animals is not only the wrong use of this human form of life, but it will also result in damage. And because of such a high level of intelligence which has been imparted to the human species, the damage is not restricted only to the, as in the case of the iPod, it's not restricted only to the human beings, but it boils over to the other species and other living entities living on this planet. So besides not utilizing the good advantage, it is causing damage. Like for example, in this world, we hear all over the place so many environmental crises going on, so many problems. World over, governments are facing problems with ecological problems, problems with the population, depression, suicide rates, so many things. Now these are not something new. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada, he went to the West, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, at that time he was preaching in the places where there were hippies. So in San Francisco, the San Francisco City Council, one time they decided, let us do something about this problem. And they found out that most of these young people, even though among the hippies there was this motto that do not trust anyone above 30 years of age, but still they were being naturally attracted to this one personality who was 70 plus years of age, and they were actually ready to follow what he was trying to tell them. So they thought, oh, this person, Bhaktivedanta Swami, he is doing some good work among the youth, trying to rehabilitate them. So let us try to involve him also. Let us try to involve him in this activity of trying to, you know, somehow be able to cure the society of all the ills that it is affected by. So they invited Prabhupada to this council and they said, can you please give us some advice? How you are able to do this? So Srila Prabhupada, he agreed to attend, but he lost all interest after the first meeting. Why? Because Srila Prabhupada's message, they could only see the externals. They could only see that he is feeding these young people, but they could not understand what is he feeding them. Like we know that feeding Krishna Prasadam is like inoculating a person with certain, so that he is, protected from certain infections. So actually that was the secret. They could only see that he is doing some humanitarian work. He is giving them food. He is distributing food to the hungry. But that was not it. It was more deeper. He was feeding them Krishna Prasad. And not only feeding them Krishna Prasad, he was making them chant. So actually he was engaging them. Srila Prabhupada was engaging all the hippies through the first, tar madhye jivati, this tongue, Tongue is one of the organs of our body, which is, there's a strange feature about it. Of all the, knowledge acquiring senses we have, eyes, nose, ears, tongue and the skin. The skin is all over the body. Eyes, ears and nose, they are all in pairs. But still, if you see, all these skin, nose, eyes and ears, they are in pairs or they are spread throughout the body, but still their function is single. Eyes only see, ears only hear, nose only smells, skin only touch, sense of touch. But the tongue, that is an organ which is one. It's not spread throughout the body, it is not in pairs, it is only one, but it has got two functions. You can eat, you can taste, and you can speak. So therefore, Acharya has also said that the first sense or the first organ which will help us in engaging all other senses of our body in the service of Krishna is the tongue. Through the medium of our tongue. Even though it is only one, it has got two functions. Maximizing the benefit. So Srila Prabhupada engaged their tongue rather in such a way that he could create this change. But this was not seen by the so-called administrators of the city council. They thought that he is just doing some humanitarian work. When he was actually engaging them in honoring Krishna Prasad and chanting the names of the Lord, which was actually getting them back to the way of Dharma, getting them back on the path of Dharma, getting them on the path back whereby they can be reconnected, their relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be re-established. And that was the reason why he could change how he could change the hippies into happies. It was not because of feeding some food. There are so many organizations who feed food to the hungry. Not everybody is able to change the way of life. So the basic root cause was this. So there are so many crises happening around the world. In the West, it is like universities have courses on this. Why the world is facing so many ecological crises? Why the world is facing so many crises in terms of human behavior? But they can only understand, but they cannot understand what is the basic underlying problem which is connecting all of these crises. Why? Because they have gone so far away from the codes of Dharma. This instruction manual which Krishna has given us in the form of Bhagavad Gita and all the Vedic literatures, specifically Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they have gone so far away from these codes of Dharma, which are like instruction manual, how to use this human form of life. So therefore there is this Dharmasya Glani. They have gone away from this path of Dharma, and the answer to all the problems that they are facing is within this Dharma, codes of Dharma. But they don't want Dharma. Rather, what they want is Kama. All that they want is Kama. And for Kama, what do you need? Artha or economic development. But again, as in the Vedic scripture it is given, Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. So Dharma is needed for Artha. But they want Artha without the Dharma. Rather, they go into fruitive activities, into enterprise and exploitation. on the other hand, we have also certain people who are still trying to be sadhus. We have a great assembly of them right here. If not sadhus, in all over India you will find people at least who would like to be dharmic. They are also facing opposition. They are facing opposition in a big way nowadays, of course, because it is Kali Yuga. But it is not that they are facing opposition only now. Like we are reading here in today's verse, even at the time of the appearance of Krishna, religious minded people were oppressed. So this purport, it mentions how Jarasandha, who was the father-in-law of Kamsa, so when Kamsa was killed by Krishna, the two wives of Kamsa, Asti and Prapti, they went running to their father, saying that, oh, our husband has been killed. So Jarasandha, he vowed to destroy Krishna. So even before Krishna appeared, till today, we see that there have been instances where people who are religious minded, who are following the codes of dharma, who are living a life whereby they can ultimately realize their relationship with Krishna, they are being constantly oppressed and obstructed in their pursuit. So in this regard, I mean, we have in this today's verse, it is mentioned that how Kamsa, he had the support of all these kings. Under the protection of Magadharaj Jarasandha, the powerful Kamsa began persecuting the kings of the Yadu dynasty. In this, he had the cooperation of the various demons like Pralamba, Baka, Chanura, Trinavarta, Aghasur, Mushtika, Arishta, Dvivida, Putana, Keshi, Dhenuka, and Banasur and Narakasur, and many other demoniac kings. So one of these, another thing is, when Krishna comes to Mathura along with Akrur, so when he is entering the arena, one of the first personalities that he has to contend with is that elephant, Kovalapeed. So there is a very interesting story how this alliance between Jarasandha and Kamsa came to be. So one time, this is very little, we'll go back in history. So Bali Maharaj, one of the sons of Bali Maharaj, was named Mandagati. And this Mandagati, now he is son of Bali Maharaj. So he went on a pilgrimage, and no less a pilgrimage than Rangakshetra. So one time this Mandagati, he had gone on a pilgrimage to Rangakshetra, and just like this year we saw during South India Yatra just last year, heavily crowded. So just like other pilgrimage places, all the pilgrimage places are crowded. Even Rangakshetra was crowded when Mandagati visited. And as it happens, people tend to push and shove when they are in line trying to get darshan of the Lord as fast as possible. So this Mandagati, he was also very powerfully built, very huge personality, a Kshatriya. So he also tried to, you know, push and shove and try to get ahead in line. So in this process, what happened was, there was a sage whose name was Tritamuni. And this sage, he was pushed by Mandagati. So this sage, he said, you are a Kshatriya and you are behaving like this in this holy place of Rangakshetra. You are behaving this brutish manner like an elephant. So you become an elephant right now. So when the sage cursed him like this, Mandagati immediately realized his folly. And he fell at the feet of the sage and he begged forgiveness. So the sage, he was also pleased by seeing his, you know, proper attitude in mood. So therefore, he said, okay, I will tell you how your curse will be, you will be relieved from your curse. So he said that when Krishna will appear in Mathura, and then he will go away for some years from Mathura, and when he returns back to Mathura again, at that time he will kill you, and by that you will be delivered from this curse of living like an elephant. So when after the sage said this, Mandagati immediately his body turned into the form of an elephant, but no ordinary elephant, very huge and powerful elephant. And this elephant was roaming freely in the forest, all over the forest. And many kings, whenever they would see this elephant, they would feel, wow, this elephant I should have in my army. It will make such a good asset to my army. So even once, Jarasandha happened to see this elephant. And when Jarasandha saw this elephant, he thought, oh, this is a very good elephant. It would make a very good asset for my army. Let me capture this. So Jarasandha had to employ his entire army and 1 lakh elephants, which he already had in his army, in order to capture this one elephant. That was how powerful this elephant was. So he employed his entire army, 1 lakh elephants, and somehow he managed to capture this elephant and keep it in captivity. So he captured the elephant in the forest, and he was bringing that elephant back to his kingdom of Magadha. So he was traveling along the banks of the Yamuna. Now, trying to get that elephant back to his kingdom Magadha, which is in present-day Bihar. So traveling along the banks of the Yamuna, it was not an easy job. And as, you know, because this elephant was so powerful, somewhere along the way, unfortunately, that elephant got loose. And he ran away from the captivity and ran away into the high mountains and into the forest somewhere. So while he ran away into that forest, at that time, this another personality, Kamsa, right now there is, at this time there was no connection, no alliance between these two persons. So Kamsa was there doing his usual job of persecuting the different people in the villages, trying to stop the pious people from performing pious activities, performing sacrifices. So he was there in one of the villages, camping in one of the villages near the forest, doing his demoniac activities. And this elephant happened to walk right into the camp of Kamsa. So when Kamsa saw this elephant running wildly about, he immediately caught hold of the trunk of the elephant and picked up the elephant and smashed it to the ground. And again he lifted the elephant, whirled it in the air and threw it 80 miles. And that elephant happened to come and land right at the camp of Jarasandha. So Jarasandha was completely wonderstruck. Who is this personality? My entire army and 1 lakh elephants, we had a difficult time trying to catch this elephant and try to keep it in captivity. Jarasandha immediately thought, who is this personality who could do this to such a creature? Such a powerful creature being tossed about like a rag doll. Who is this personality? So immediately he went to find out, who is this? And then he found out that this is none other than Kamsa. And therefore immediately Jarasandha, he thought, wow, this will make a very good alliance. You know, he is such a powerful personality. So he immediately gave that elephant to Kamsa as a gift. You can have this elephant. And at the same time he said, please also accept my two daughters in marriage. And that is how this alliance between Kamsa and Jarasandha. And because of this alliance, Kamsa, because he was being backed by Jarasandha, who was considered a very powerful personality, Kamsa himself being very powerful, having gained the backing of Jarasandha, all other demoniac kings, they accepted dominion of Kamsa over themselves. And they were ready to do whatever he said without any second thought. Whatever was Kamsa's bidding, they were ready to do it without any second thought. So this obstruction to performing the the religious activities according to the codes of dharma is not something which is only in Krishna's time. It's today, and it's been happening since time immemorial. There is always negative aspects in the society which obstruct those people who are wanting to perform religious activities or wanting to live life according to the codes of dharma. In fact, this is known to every living entity. Every living entity is aware that I have to live according to the life of, according to the codes of dharma. I have to surrender my life. Every living entity, when they are in the womb of their mother, very nicely it is explained in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how the living entity, while in the womb of the mother, is praying to the Lord. That without being agitated anymore, I shall deliver myself from the darkness of nescience with the help of my friend, clear consciousness. Simply by keeping the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu in my mind, I shall be saved from entering into the wombs of many mothers for repeated birth and death. So this is the prayer of the living entity when it is in the womb of mother. And it says, therefore, my Lord, although I am living in a terrible condition, I do not wish to depart from my mother's abdomen to fall again into the blind well of materialistic life. Your external energy called Deva Maya at once captures the newly born child, and immediately false identification, which is the beginning of the cycle of continual birth and death, begins. So here it is very clear that the living entity knows, while in the womb of the mother, while suffering the various miseries within the womb of the mother, the living entity is aware that I am suffering and I would like to end my suffering by surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord, by re-establishing my relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it knows that when once it comes out, it will forget all this. And therefore, the living entity expresses a desire of not wanting to come out. But still, the living entity is forced to come out of the womb. And what happens when the living entity comes out of the womb? When the living entity comes out of the womb, the 10-month-old living entity has these desires even while in the womb. But while he thus extols the Lord, the wind that helps parturition propels him forth with his face turned downwards so that he may be born. Pushed downward all of a sudden by the wind, the child comes out with great trouble, head downward, breathless and deprived of memory due to severe agony. So because of the agony of taking birth, the pain of being propelled through such a narrow channel, the child, which only a few moments ago was praying to the Lord, being fully aware of its precarious condition, loses all memory of that. And again, as Bhakti Vinod Thakur in his very nice first bhajan in Sharanagati, expressing the mood of Dainya, Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes very nicely that, O Lord, I forgot you and came into this material world where I experienced a host of pains and sorrows. While still, Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes that, while still bound up in the unbearable confines of my mother's womb, you once revealed yourself before me. Appearing only briefly, you then abandoned this poor servant of yours. At that moment, I thought, after my birth, I will worship you. So every living entity goes through this phase. But alas, after taking birth, I fell into the entangling network of worldly illusions. Thus, I possessed not even a drop of true knowledge. So therefore, we should understand that it is not something which is not known, and it is only by the causeless mercies of the great devotees of the Lord that somehow we have got this opportunity to again re-establish our lost relationship with Krishna. It is only because of the great mercy and compassion of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, that we have got this mercy of trying to understand what is our true nature, who is Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what is our relationship with Krishna, and these subject matters, we are even trying to comprehend about these topics is only by the mercy of the great devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, before the time of Krishna also, there were these great oppressors who were troubling society. So, Krishna advented himself, as in this today's verse, Prabhupada mentions in the purport that Krishna appeared in the womb of Devaki after transferring Baladev to the womb of Rohini by the power of Yoga Maya. So, therefore, at the end, Prabhupada mentions this very nice statement, the demons naturally appeared more powerful than the demigods. Like in most Bollywood productions, they show initially the villain is always winning, and then suddenly all of a sudden there is this savior who comes and smashes the villain, even if he is so much in such a, it's like the underdog always wins. But Krishna is not like the underdog, he is winning. He is always in the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It is only that He allows, He gives a chance to all the living entities to somehow try and, okay, please surrender. So, it is not that it is a favor done by the demons. So, demons appear initially more powerful, but ultimately because of help received from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the demons were defeated and the demigods triumphed. So, the defeat of the demons is also actually not defeat in the true sense of the word. Demons were defeated in their purpose of obstructing the demigods from their pious activities. But ultimately, their defeat is also triumph for them in the sense that because they were killed by Krishna. So therefore, we have to understand that even today, so Krishna appeared 5000 years ago, destroyed all these demons. So even today, Krishna has appeared in the form of the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Krishna Himself appeared not more than 500 years ago as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu predicted that my Mora Senapati Bhakta, he will one day come and spread the chanting of this holy name all over the globe. And Srila Prabhupada, he fulfilled this prophecy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by taking this Hare Krishna Mahamantra to every town and village in all the continents all over the globe. And because of that, Krishna is again here. And if we understand, there are so many problems plaguing the world, you know, but people are only just trying to cure the boil by blowing on the boil. Rather than, just like Prabhupada, he was invited by the city council of San Francisco. But they could never understand how by chanting Hare Krishna, all the problems, he is curing all the problems. They never tried to understand, they could never understand. So similarly, even today, it seems quite incomprehensible, but actually it is true that just by chanting the holy names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that is what in ISKCON we have every year in the month of September, which is fast coming up, the World Holy Name Week, whereby we try to infuse the entire environment all over the world with the chanting of the holy names, which will result in actual purification, by which there will be a change in the world as we know it. So our effort also should be to try to chant these holy names, try to give these holy names, because ultimately when we talk about holy names, it is not just some, you know, people feel that, oh, this is just some kirtan, some bhajans. But no, it is actually Krishna present in the form of his names. So when Krishna advents, all the other, just like 5000 years ago, he actually killed all the demons, all the ills and all the problems that are plaguing this world today, as we know it, will be completely eradicated, and we will feel that we have come to a completely new place. So we have only one personality to thank for all this, that is His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, because of whose kind compassion at the age of 70, as I said, he travelled all across the world more than 12 times, circumambulated the globe, spreading the holy names and encouraging people everywhere to chant the holy names. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If anyone has any questions or comments. Grantha Srimad Bhagavat Mahapurana ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.